Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
This episode is brought to you by PASA Sustainable Agriculture. Register now for PASA's 2024 conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Don't miss over 70 educational sessions on farming and food systems, plus an expansive trade show. Learn more at pasafarming.org/HRN2024.
Welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi every day on the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify this program with my cool guest. My guest today is Johan Uriak, who is the chef owner of Neapolitan pizza food truck, Pizza Bella, located in Iizuka City, Fukuoka Prefecture, Japan. And Johan is originally from France and worked in Australia, Canada, Korea, and eventually arrived in Japan 8 years ago. And he had done various things before he found his calling of making great pizza for his customers, many of whom became also his friends. So today we'll discuss why a young Frenchman decided to move to Japan and became a pizzaiolo, how he started and runs a successful food truck business in the foreign land, how he built a network of close friends in Japan, and much, much more. But before we start, Japan Eats is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We truly appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Johan Uriak. Hello, Johan. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to meet you, everyone.
So I happened to find your amazing YouTube video, and I was fascinated by what you do, how you got to run your successful business, and also how your warm personality, like, I understand why people wanted to become friends with you. So today we'll discuss all of them. So, it's really true. So maybe I should put the link to the YouTube video as well for everybody who's interested.
Yes, please.
So first of all, to get to know you, where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
So I'm from France, in the south of France, in a very countryside area. And then the name of the city is Castelnaudary. It's near Carcassonne and near Toulouse. So what I used to eat over there is famous food is called cassoulet. Cassoulet is white beans marinated with some French pig sausage and some duck legs. And then they do it for it's marinated for 1 day. And then after that, they put it in a Hoover to make it crispy. And this is the most famous food we have in my hometown. That's why I used to eat a lot.
Wow, but the duck leg is such a fancy ingredient for majority of for the rest of us in the world. So, yeah, and I understand why you make such a great pizza. So, and I heard that before you went to Japan, you worked extensively outside of France, such as Australia, Canada, and Korea. So how did you leave France, which sounds like an amazing place you grew up, and decided to work abroad?
Yeah, actually, since I was a kid, actually, I all the time wanted to go abroad, and I was all the time interested to go, especially in England, in London. Then, so when I was 17, I left France and then I went to London. And then I used to start to work in a Hilton hotel in London for about 1 year. And then I learned English. And then after that, I came back to France. And then I worked like a few different hotels in Cannes in a French movie festival city. And then after that, I just escaped. And then I went to Australia for 2 years. And then in Australia too, I was working in some hotel, five-star hotel. And then I become friends with a lot of Korean people and Japanese people. And then I start to be in love with the Asian culture. So after that, I went to Korea in Seoul, and I used to work at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel after that for 1 year. And then after I went to Canada, and then finally I went to Japan, something like this.
Hey, wow. Well, it sounds like being a hotel man, it's very challenging, and also you learn so much from the diversity of the experience. So what did you learn from that being a hotel man?
Yeah, I learned about the, like, all different culture in the world. And then I used to be with so many people from different, like, country, from different lifestyle, some very, very, like, rich people, some famous people, and then I learned so many things from everyone, but I learned in a five-star hotel, when the guests arrive in a hotel, you need to guess what the guests want first, and you need to give the best impression. So that's what I'm doing now when I work in my small food truck. When the guests arrive, I try to do the same level as a five-star hotel, and then the eye contact, and then you need to all the time guess what the people want to ask you before.
Right. Well, that's interesting, right? Because in Japanese, there's a phrase called read the air. So you have to guess, but beyond guessing, you really have to have insight into somebody's feeling, and you try to capture that needs before they even know what they want. So that's a skill. So you arrived in Japan 8 years ago. So why did you go to Japan and decided to stay there?
So what I, and then in Australia, I met someone, and then we kept in touch, and then she came to visit me in Korea. And then in Korea, at that time, we was just a friend. And then she told me, like, how about you come to visit me next time in Japan, in Fukuoka. So I went to Japan, and then we become still be friend. And that time I was saying, like, then how about, I'm thinking to go to Canada for 1 year to work there. How about you want to come with me, and then we can work over there. And then at that time we become like a couple. And then I came back to Japan with her, and then I married her. And then that's why I stay in Japan after that. Now I have two kids, like two boys, 5 years old and 6 years old. So more, I am staying in Japan, I believe, forever now.
Right. Such a global discoveries, and it's amazing. I have two boys, right, you said?
Yeah.
Right.
So
okay,
now
how
I need to
they?
Do my best for them. So they are five years old and 6 years old.
Wow. Okay. So busy father and busy business person. And I'm sure you're a great husband as well. Right.
Thank you. Before
you started your own business 2 years ago, what did you do? It seems that 6 years made you immerse yourself fully in Japanese culture and society, and also the language.
So what I did, as you know, I was working all my life in a five-star hotel, a bit everywhere. So I thought it's going to be the same story like when I came to Korea. First, I came to Korea, and then I applied to work in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, and then I had the job right away. Even I could not speak Korean, because most of the customers, the guest is not Korean, so they speak English. So they was happy to have someone who could speak English and be in touch with them. So I did the same thing in Tokyo. When I went to Tokyo, I applied so many hotel, but I could not find any job because they said you really need to speak Japanese perfectly. So it's a different culture, different countries. They they see the rule differently. So after that, after maybe 1 month in Tokyo, I left and I went to Fukuoka, the city where my wife used to live. And then I worked for her dad in a karaoke. But it was a bit hard for me because from like 5-star world, like I work in a karaoke and then dad is very, very strong Japanese boss, like his own company. And then it was, I need to adapt to the Japanese rule and the Japanese lifestyle. And then he told me like I have a family member, so I am not allowed to have day off and I need to work night and day. And then this is... If you want to be success in a business, you need to walk and never think about stopping work. So I was a bit like, what is going on? I love Japan, but this is very different world lifestyle than what I did before. So I decided to experience another life story like myself. So I went to Fukuoka and then I was working in some izakaya as a chef, because I was thinking at that time already, I want to do something in Japan my own. I want to do something with food. So I started working some izakaya as a chef, like normal Japanese, like yakitori izakaya. But it was the same story, very, very hard. And then I had to drive like more than 1 hour from my hometown, Izuka, to Fukuoka every day. And very, very hard work. And then I start to feel like, do I really want to do like izakaya chef or Japanese traditional food, like cuisine I want to do? And then after that, at that time, I quit the job and then I was doing like in Japanese, you say daikusan, kapanta, like making the house. Kapanta. We was doing this, but they are very working like Japanese kapanta, and they are very like, they work very hard and they didn't have any like safety, like no belt, no things. So they just walk like this on the third floor, fourth floor, fifth floor, and then it was very scary for me, very like I couldn't do it. But I did it for like 7 months, and then still I was not so happy. Like I wanted to do something in Japan and I'm happy to do it every day, and then I don't want to do something just to not be happy. And then, so after that, of course, I was a bit lost in Japan and I didn't know what I want to do. And then, so at that time, one of my friends, he recommended me to do some job, like if you want to have like a quite good salary, and then you will be okay for a while till you think what you want to do. So I was doing like, gomi-yasan, pick up the rubbish in the street. I was pick up the rubbish in rubbish truck. And then I was doing like a kumitori-yasan. I don't know how you do it in English. Yes, wow. This is
pick up the sewage item from each house before it gets modernized. Yeah. Wow, that's like extreme range of bootcamp experience. Yeah.
This is extreme. It was very, very hard job and very like, I did this for 3 years because at that time my kid was very young, and then I was telling myself like I'm dad now and I should not stop. I should stop quitting job and then I should work hard for them. But I was thinking like really, really, I cannot keep going this all my life. And then actually I talk a lot with my dad. My dad is a French pâtissier. He's a French pâtissier. And when I was a kid, I used to work a lot with him. And so I know how to make like the dough. I know how to make some cake and this and that. So I was telling him that I want my pizza shop, like some pizza business in Japan. I'm happy and I love to make pizza, but of course I cannot make pizza at that time. And then of course I definitely need to go back to Fukuoka and then work in a Japanese pizza shop. And then I need to work hard for them. And then I know it's going to be to be hard, but I need to do it. So at that time I stopped the job and I was doing, and then I came to Fukuoka again, and then I work in a famous pizza shop in Fukuoka. And then it was like a few months over there, but I find out that they are very, very strict. They never let me make any pizza. You just need to do like a dishwasher and this and that. I'm okay with that. I understand, but I could not wait anymore. I was too in a hurry to do something myself. So I change the job again, and then I apply in a different pizza shop where you only make pizza. It was quite good because it was very busy and you just make pizza, pizza, pizza. But the way they make pizza is different from my way, my image. I was thinking to make pizza. So over there, I could practice, touch the pizza and practice with my hand. And then nighttime when I come back my home, I watch some like YouTube and Instagram of the most famous like pizza chef in France and Italy. And then I learned the technique from them. And then I do it at work over there the day after. So I was doing this for like 2 years.
Right. So it's amazing, right? So you are 8 years in Japan. Sounds like one of the most intense, concentrated experience, even far beyond regular Japanese people could learn about the society. And you know how the whole social system works, how people can be so stubborn. My dad is from Kyushu. And that land, that area of Japan is known for being traditional. And your wife's father sounds like very kind of traditional style minded person, like my father was.
Yes.
So right, it's like very hardcore. So once you know how it works, it's like a skills, right? The knowledge of the society and the culture. So I think your time was not wasted. It was such a precious asset that you had that 60 years. And then, of course, you learned Japanese style of making pizza, the how Japanese kitchen works. That sounds like you had a very precious 8 years so far. I mean, the 6 years before you started your business 2 years ago. So amazing. All right. So, we're going to dive into your business, but we'll take a quick break here. And when you come back, we discuss your pizza truck, Pizza Bella.
All right.
So listeners, please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant from French to Pan-Asian to American. And that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and their rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit Korin.com.
Want to cultivate farms and food systems that nourish, heal, and empower? Register now for PASA's 2024 Sustainable Agriculture Conference. Discover resources, services, and products at our expansive trade show and explore more than 70 educational sessions on climate smart practices, food justice, soil health, and more. Featuring a dynamic lineup of speakers, including Reginaldo Hasle Marroquin, farmer and founder of the Regenerative Agriculture Alliance and CEO of Tree Range Farms, and Reverend Dr. Heber M. Brown III, pastor, community organizer, and founder of the Black Church Food Security Network. Find your community at PASA's 33rd annual conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on February 8th through 10th. Register now at pasafarming.org/HRN2024. That's pasafarming.org/HRN2024.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Needs on Heritage Radio Network, HRN. And I'm your host, Kotayama. And my guest today is Johan Uriak, who is the owner, chef of the Neapolitan pizza food truck, Pizza Bella, located in Iizuka City, Fukuoka Prefecture, which is in the southern part of Japan. So, you started your own business as a chef owner of the Neapolitan pizza food truck called the Pizza Bella. So in Iizuka City, Fukuoka Prefecture. So first of all, why pizza and why in Iizuka City? Because, your father was a patissier and you could have chosen something more French, but you chose to make Italian style pizza. So what's the reason for that?
So my reason is like... As I said, my father was pâtissier, but I have to say in Japan, there is many, many pâtissier and then there is many shop, like cake shop. And I have to say the level is very, very high level and they are very skilled. They have some high skill Japanese people about the cake and they are doing even better than French pâtissier these days. So me, my way, my think, my image of pizza, I was checking and I was looking everywhere in Tokyo, the most famous pizza shop everywhere in Japan. And I find that they only have the same pizza, is the normal Napoli pizza, Italian Napoli pizza. But my pizza, what I'm making now, is a new way of pizza. It's called Napolitana, Napoli pizza contemporanea. Contemporanea, like the dough is very fluffy and it's quite big, and inside is very, very fluffy and very easy to eat. But this kind of like a fluffy pizza in Japan, they don't have it yet. So I thought there is a chance of making a new way of making pizza in Japan. And then this day, I still check everywhere and they don't make it yet, this kind of pizza. So I thought that I have a chance to make some new style of pizza in here. So that's why I wanted to do like pizza in here, this kind of pizza.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because I don't think many people know the Japanese French style cake shops and all the sweet shops are so obsessively detail oriented. I think that fits into Japanese personality. And I think Japanese people love sweets, and especially very delicate French style cake shops.
Yes, so, yes.
Yeah, there's like millions of them. And yeah, if you visit major cities, you'll be busy visiting all those beautiful cake shops, and then probably you have like more than you expect Western style sweets, right?
Yeah, fantastic.
And also, it's a great point. I heard, Neapolitan Pizza Association or something, they certify pizzaiolo globally. And then I heard a couple of years ago, I think the biggest number of certified people are Japanese people. So that's why I think Japanese people are really precise about following the rules, and then they can make the classic style pizza with respect pretty well.
Yes,
certified. Right. So, yeah, and I heard your style of pizza, you have the cornicione. Is that the specific?
Cornicione.
Can you explain what it is?
So the normal, the most of the pizzaiolo shop in Japan do, and bit everywhere, they do the normal Napoli pizza. The cornicione, the side, the pizza side, the dough is small, and then is a bit hard and soft. But the new way I'm doing it is called Napoli contemporanea. Contemporanea is a special way, it's a different way of making the dough. It takes more time, it's more hard to do it, but inside it will be so fluffy, it will be very big, the cornicione will be very big, but inside a lot of hair, and very, very fluffy. So it's very easy to eat, very easy to digest, and the taste is a bit different, it's even more tasty. Why? Because it takes longer time to make it. So it will, the taste inside the dough will be it will grow up, it will be more tasty.
Right, so maybe you spend more time to rising, the dough is more rising, and then you have more natural yeast and air. So that's why you make satisfying but really airy, light pizza, right?
Yes, something like this.
Yeah, because I was watching your YouTube video and it made me so hungry. That's like the crust. Yeah. That's what I would look for in a pizza, right? And you opened your shop, the food truck in Iizuka City. So what kind of place is Iizuka? And also, why did you pick the location, which is kind of like open air space?
Yes, so Iizuka City is quite a small city. It's quite big, but absolutely there is not much to do in Iizuka. It's quite countryside city. But in opposite way, me, I'm thinking like it's a good opportunity for me. Why? Because I have a food truck. I can drive everywhere. And then I'm not interested to go to the big city where there is already so many shops, so many restaurants, so many food trucks. So in Iizuka, I can go, most of the place I go, people are quite happy to have someone who go here and some they can buy some pizza. And they, because there is no other shop around here, there is no takeout shop, there is no much restaurant, there is very, very countryside. So where I am, my regular guests, they are over than 60 years old or even 70 years old, or I have even young people too. So I think it's quite good to be in a countryside, I mean, in Izuka. Mm.
Right. Well, that's a very strategic location choice, I think. And that's interesting thing about you have a very charming food truck, and which I heard you built your own. And in the kitchen inside the truck is pretty fancy, and it's equipped with the pizza oven that you ordered from Italy. So how did you build it? And I heard you have many friends involved in building it, right?
Yes. So actually, one of my friends, he's a garage owner, and then small garage owner. And then one day, actually, I was thinking before the corona starts, I was thinking, what should I do? Should I make my restaurant? But at that time, I was thinking, no, if I do my restaurant now, it's going to be like too hard. So in Japan, it become like famous to do like food truck at that time. So I told my friend, then how about we build some like a food truck? And then he had no idea, and I have no idea too. So first we bought like just a normal truck, like a delivery normal white truck. And then after that, of course, I start I was looking everywhere, and I start to have my image, my idea. And I said, okay, then, you know what I want to do? I want to do just like an open food truck, only windows. I want the people from outside, they see anything what I do inside. I have nothing to hide. I want to show them how I make the pizza and how I cook the pizza. And then I think this is a show time. So the guest, when they order the pizza, it start to be like fun when they start to order the pizza. They can see Johan, he's starting to make pizza and cooking the pizza. And then it look already delicious. It look already like you want to eat the pizza when you look at it. But if you have someone in a food truck, there is no windows, it's all closed. You just order the pizza and you wait. And then after that, you open the door and then give you the pizza. I mean, I don't think it's... Yeah, it's not the same feeling, right? It's a bit different.
No.
Like, okay, thank you.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, really, your beautiful truck and very open and kind of like inviting too. So, and I heard you have your other friends who are carpenter and the electrician, all those people. So your truck is very well customized, and it's amazing how you made friends with those people to make it happen. So, but how do you make people with like all those Japanese people and very locally? And of course you speak Japanese, but I don't think it's easy to go deep into the community. So how do you do that?
I mean, like, till I was working in Japanese company everywhere, I was just following, like, you need to be like this, you need to say sorry, you need to say thank you. I was not myself. I was not Johan anymore. I just become, like, someone who I need to follow the rule in Japan. But since I have my food truck, I just become back to Johan, and then I'm just myself. And then I make mistakes sometimes when I speak, and then I'm just fun, and then I'm just friendly. And I when the guests come, I don't treat them like I don't know them, and this is the first time. I say, even the first time I meet them, I just talk to them so friendly, and they are happy at the end with that, Japanese people. And then I become like close to everyone so easily, because they like, Japanese people like to have this human touch, like this, like a friendly feeling. But maybe because they are shy, or because this in Japan, this is kind of the Japanese rule. You need to be like very polite at the first, and this and that. But if they see Johan is coming and very friendly and say, oh, hello, nice to meet you. It's the first time you ordered this pizza. And then, oh, yeah, then how about this one? You know, this one is quite tasty, and this and that. They are very happy. So I become close to everyone like this, because I'm just myself, and then just you need to be friendly, and that's it. Everyone like it.
Right. So you speak the global language. And also, I think, like you said, Japanese people, because of language barrier, people may think Japanese people may not be so open, but people are ready to speak to you, very friendly. And I always feel there's such a warm community, the whole society, even including Tokyo, people ready to help you. And it's such a caring place to live. That's what I think. I mean, probably I'm biased.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe you can give us some examples of your original pizzas.
So one of my pizza who I become like quite famous from the beginning is called Johan Pizza. Why Johan Pizza? Because actually I didn't put this name on it. Actually, when I didn't have my food truck yet, but I saw some guys who have the same food truck, similar food truck in Okinawa with the same oven. And then I told him like, oh, I want to visit you. And then at that time he said, let's do some event. I will make some event that Johan is coming from Izuka and then we will do some event. So please make one pizza, you do your own pizza. And then I bring this pizza to Okinawa and then he called it Johan Pizza. So this pizza is basically tomato sauce. And then I put some shrimp on it and I put some fresh garlic on it. And then I put some mini tomato and I put a lot of grana cheese powder and then olive oil. And then I cook it in a oven. And then after that, I just had extra like grana cheese powder, grana cheese slice. And I put some red onion, fresh red onion on it. And then Japanese people, they just love this pizza. They love it. Japanese people love seafood, so this pizza is quite famous.
Right. And your Instagram post, I am looking at the image and I'm very, very hungry right now. This looks amazing.
Right. Thank you.
So that's Johan Pizza. Anything else you want to mention?
So I use like the domestic, like the pork, the pig from Japan, pork belly from Japan, and then I make it on the French. I cook it on the French style. I put a lot of French herb like rosemary and then oregano and then a lot of herb inside. And then I cook it about for 2 hours. And then after that, I just had it on the pizza. And then on the pizza, I put some onion and then I put some mozzarella cheese on it. And then when I take it out and I put some black pepper and I put some, how you say in Japanese, it's called like green negi, like negi.
Mm. Right, Tokyo Negi, like, Tokyo Scallions.
Yes, and I hate it. And then this pizza is very, very like popular and quite tasty, I think.
Mm. And again, looking at the Instagram, it's like the, you know, the cornicione, that, you know, the edge is so fluffy. And then the pork, the image of pork belly is heavy, but it looks like very light. So I have to come over at some point. Right.
Please.
Okay. So, how many types of pizza do you have usually? If I go to your truck, how many? Like you have 3, 4.
I think I have 11 type of pizza I am making.
Wow.
Right.
And do you have many regulars who come to your truck almost every day?
Yes,
every week?
Yes. Actually, every week, I'm usually go to the same place. So every day is a different place in Izuka or some other city around. And then, yes, I think I have some regular guests all the time come. So, and then people as well from Instagram, they order and then they follow from Instagram. So they know exactly what I am. And then say, yes, I have some regular place in every different location.
Mm, right. Well, that's interesting. So you booked the place to park your truck and you can go around in different locations, because I see your calendar and you have different spots, like 5, 6 spots, and you can move around, right?
Yes. So usually it's a place where my friends, they are the owner of the company, who they let me like sail over there. Like for free, they don't ask me anything, and they say, Johan, you can go and sail over there. or some place like, my friend who owned this land. And then he said, you can go at that time and it's okay. You can sell over there. Some place you have to pay some like daily rent. You need to pay for the day, some rent. And then on a Saturday, Sunday, there's some event, some big event. I go to the event as well too.
Right. So you can make even more friends in each location.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, but running your own business must be very hard. So what's the biggest challenge for you?
The biggest challenge is, actually the place is like to find a good place to sell, because some place you can have some place, but it can be like just a few people come or very quiet. It depends on the day and the time as well. So Izuka, as I said, is a very countryside. Some place can be very good, but some place can be there is no much people driving around here. And it, so, yes, it's all the time, every month, I'm thinking where I'm going to be. Of course, I have my regular place, weekday, regular place, but on a Saturday and Sunday, food truck, everyone's doing food trucks. We are expecting to go to some event, but if there is some event, but if it's raining, the event will be canceled. So we all the time worry about this kind of thing, like the place and if on the weekend the event will be okay, about the weather. If it's raining, food truck is a bit hard. People doesn't really go outside. Or if it's too hot as well. In Japan, it's very, very, very hot, very humid. So that weather, like people don't really go outside. So our worry is about the place and the weather.
Right, especially the Kyushu and the southern part of Japan must be really hot. But I'm sure regulars look forward to your visit, your pizza truck parked nearby. So it's good that you have regulars, right?
Yeah.
So it seems that you are living a good life. So what keeps you going and what's the key to living such a good life for you?
What keep me going is my son, my kids.
Mm.
So they keep me strong every day, and then I want to make them proud. And then I know life is not easy in Japan. I'm sure for Japanese people it's not easy, but more hard for foreigners who live in Japan. There is so many things you need to adapt to, so many things you need to understand, and then so many things you need to accept to be in Japan. But what keep me going is definitely my kids. They give me the motivation every day. Like, yeah.
Right. Well, if you ask Japanese people, living in Japan must be hard, and foreigners, maybe you get exception, whatever. People may say different things, but I think you're so focused on living your life, especially after the 6 years of soul searching. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's very inspiring. You just really stick to what you want to achieve. And I think, as far as I understand from your YouTube video and other things, you always try to improve your pizza, not just for the business, for your son, but there's some passion for pizza itself, right?
Yeah, definitely, yes. I'm all the time thinking morning till night, pizza. Is all the time I try to improve. I all the time think about I want to make a new pizza, or you know, if you when you make pizza, the dough every single day will be different. Why? Because outside is too hot, it's too cold, it's humid, it's not enough humid, so the dough will be a bit different every day. So I get so upset if the dough doesn't grow that much, or if there's some trouble, or I'm very so 100% on my pizza. So I definitely want to make the same pizza every single day. So sometimes even the dough could not grow up that fast or that well. I prefer not to sell the pizza than selling this pizza. And then the guests will find out that, oh, it's not the same as yesterday. So I really want to keep the same quality, the same level every single day of my pizza. So yeah, I'm all the time trying to learn more and more about making it better and better.
Right. Wow, so, that's amazing. Because you're dealing with live bacteria to react to what you do and the environment. So you can't control only too much. And it must be really challenging. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but sounds like you have so much energy. So, what are your plans and dreams?
So, my plans is someday I want to open my restaurant. I want to open, some restaurant. So, maybe I am thinking in Fukuoka City because I don't live in Fukuoka City. I live in Izuka, it's like 1 hour by car, or in Kitakushu City. I'm still thinking, but my plan is, about 1 year, I will maybe open the restaurant. But of course, there's so many things I need to do before. But I'm thinking, and then I'm judging day by day.
Right. So I'm sure the plans are going to evolve. But what kind of is that going to be? The original pizza like you make now, and I heard you trying to combine that pizza place with the concept of a wine bar, like French people love, right?
So main, of course, it will be definitely pizza. But pizza only, I think, like Japanese people, they like to have a small plate a bit everywhere. They like to try so many small food everywhere. So I think just the pizza is not enough. So, of course, the main is pizza. And then after that, I want to make some like French, tapas. Tapas is from Spain, but in France we do tapas too, like some French toast with some little bit of pâté or like saucisson or something like this. And then I want to make like a big wine bar, like customers, they can pick up the wine by themselves and then they can choose the wine by themselves and then like something like friendly and then like open kitchen. So I will be in the middle. I will be cooking pizza in the middle and then people around me, they just sit and they eat, they drink and they just watch me like making pizza. I mean, that's my image, something like this.
Right. I'll definitely want to go there when you open it. So yeah, so good luck and please do keep me posted. So where can we find your updates online and on social media?
So I'm doing Instagram. So Instagram is, the name is Napoletana Pizza Bella. But if Napoletana is too long, maybe you can find it on, you can put Pizza Bella, B-E-L-L-A, and then I'm sure you can find me.
Right. I put the link in my show notes too. So, well, thanks so much for joining us today, Johan, and hope to see you soon in Fukuoka or somewhere at your new place. And also, come back when you open your place and good luck.
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much.
All right. So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanneeds@heritageradionetwork.org or at kikokotema.com. Japan Needs is a weekly program and is always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Liam Werner, and thanks for listening. I will see you next week. Japan Eats is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.